Well, this morning, we are honored to be able to have Pastor Steve Coy come and deliver the message of the word of the Lord to us today. Pastor Steve's been doing such a wonderful job preaching for us in this time and giving us wonderful messages from the Lord. This is the first of two messages for him for us. So, Pastor Steve, please come and please rise and welcome Pastor Steve to the platform.
Good morning, everybody. Glad to be here this morning. Glad to be anywhere right now. And have some questions I want to start with this morning. I want you to think about. Do you feel you want Christmas to be here, like right now? I my wife went to Big Lots the other day, and it was wiped out. All the Christmas stuff was gone already. And I think it's because people want the holidays to happen sooner this year. They're like, let's get 2020 out of the way. Let's celebrate Christmas. Let's celebrate New Year's, and everything will be different, and everything will be changed. And I know it's true in our own neighborhood. More lights went up before Thanksgiving Day than ever before. And I'm usually not a person, I'm like, hey, let's wait till the first week of December and so forth. And I caught myself even this year going, we could put the tree up before Thanksgiving, it'd be all right. We just won't decorate it yet. But then we realized we didn't have a tree. Ours died last year. You know, those pre-lit ones, they eventually die. And who wants to just burn it instead of trying to find new lights? It doesn't work. So are you hoping for a great Christmas this year? Amen. Or do you have a fear that it might be a little lousy? Are you worried that Christmas might stink? Because it's not going to be the same, right? We had plans to go see somebody. Those plans went away. We had plans to do stuff, and those plans have changed. Anybody else in that? Life's just not quite what we were thinking it was going to be, but we're really hoping that this year in Christmas time will be good. Well, I want to share with you this week and next week how to have a great Christmas in the middle of a dark year. Light breaking through. As somebody said, part one, and then we'll have part two next week. In John chapter 12, verse 46, it tells us this wonderful news. Jesus himself says, I have come into the world as light. Think about that. I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. Now, this time of year is what we call Advent. According to Christian teaching and so forth, Advent means coming or arrival. And for Jesus, it's his first coming and his second coming. And we're going to talk about both of those today, actually. And why? I just had my voice crack. Yes, I'm still going through puberty. It's those masks that dry me out, and water doesn't help, you know? It's just like that. But that's besides the point. Advent, the coming of Christ, the second coming of Christ. So Christ comes, and he comes as light in darkness. But what is darkness? What is our definition of darkness? I want to just share some things about darkness from Scripture. Darkness is the shadow of death. Jesus says quoting from Isaiah in Luke chapter 1, he came to give light to those who sit in darkness. And in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. So death is part of darkness, that shadow of death that hangs over all of us. And in this year, particularly, many of us have experienced an extra dose of that. Or we've heard so much about it on the news, we almost become numb to the shadow of death. There is also false teaching. Those who would teach a false scripture or a false doctrine a false Christ, a false God. And Micah tells us that that is a type of spiritual darkness. Then, of course, there's just plain old sin. Sin brings about darkness. When we sin, it brings darkness into our relationship with God, and it brings darkness into our relationship with others. This week I was reminded again of how the sin of our past can carry this cloud of heavy darkness around us in everything that we do. And it can just weigh us down. There's also the darkness of the empty soul. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 6 on the Sermon on the Mount, he says, "But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness." Your eye is your soul, and if your soul sees things darkly, no matter how much light is around you, it's just that dark heaviness. And this world can bring that heaviness on us. We live in a fallen world, and sometimes it falls right on us. And sometimes we fall in our sin right on other people, and it just leaves this darkness of the soul and a lack of hope. We live in this broken world, as we mentioned before. Romans 8:22 says, "For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now." The whole world is under this shadow of this darkness. And there's also, man, this year has accentuated the mental health issues of people. When you don't have people to rub elbows with at work, and you don't have that time to talk to one another and to kind of give that little escape release of some of depression, people are sitting at home, and you may be at home today, just that weight and darkness of depression. The sweet psalmist David said, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me?" And we have an enemy who wants to keep us in this darkness. The Bible is really clear on what Satan is like. He says he is a thief that comes, according to John 10:10. A thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan, the devil, wants to keep us in this darkness. He wants us to believe that there's no way of getting out of this darkness. That this depression we're in, we can't get out of. This broken world we're in, we can't see light in it at all. He wants to deceive us into thinking that there is no hope. And he wants to steal our hope. He wants to steal our joy. And he wants us to stay in the darkness of sin, the darkness of this broken world, the darkness of depression. Man, Steve, you're really encouraging today, aren't you? I sure hope I will be. Not only does the enemy want to keep us in darkness, but the enemy of our souls is willing to let us see imitations of the light. What do I mean? The enemy of our soul tries to imitate the light. You see, Satan himself is not a creator. He's an imitator. He doesn't create anything new. He just imitates what God has done and tries to sell it off as the original. And so what does he do? According to 2 Corinthians 11:14, "And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light." Satan himself comes as an angel of light, and he performs things that look good, that look hopeful, that look helpful. But anything that doesn't lead us to the feet of the cross, that anything that doesn't lead us to Jesus Christ, anything that doesn't lead us to the Father, just leaves us in darkness, even though it seems to be bringing us to the light. What do you mean? Well, I think of a couple things. I thought of a lot more, but for time's sake, Christmas and holiday spirit. Have you watched any movies that just tell you, embrace the Christmas spirit? Huh? Embrace the holiday spirit. If you just embrace the holiday spirit, you'll have joy this season. Now, you know what? There is a part of truth in that. But if you're not embracing the Christ of Christmas, then you're really just swallowing a saccharine substitute of the real thing. You're not grabbing a hold of Jesus. And you get this hope up in these twinkly lights. And I love the twinkly lights. I love the Christmas season. I love the cheer that people have. I love all that. But it's still a substitute for the Savior if we're missing the Christ in Christmas. Another thing that Satan does, he tries to give us hope outside of Christ. It is always darkness. When a good thing becomes a God thing, it becomes a bad thing. When a good thing becomes a God thing, it becomes a bad thing. What do you mean by that? I am a firm believer in recovery groups. But if you have a recovery group without the Savior, you're missing the Father. And again, you're just left still in darkness, whether you realize it or not. You may have your life may be better than what it was, but it still ain't what it ain't. It's still in darkness. It's still separated from the Father. And that's what God wants for you so much, is for you to be, thank you, to be separated, not to be separated from the Father, but to be have a relationship with the Father. Satan wants to keep you in darkness. Satan will give you hope. Satan will give you incremental little pieces of what appear to be victory and joy in order to keep you away from the Father. A good thing becomes a bad thing when it becomes a God thing in replace instead of Christ. Because that's what Antichrist is. Instead of Christ. And Satan is this enemy of our soul who tries to imitate the light. But what is the true light? If you have your Bibles open to John chapter 1, if you have your device open to John chapter 1, we want to look at the true light, the light of the world, Jesus Christ. Now, the true light has always been and is God. Look at verses 1 and 2. In beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was all in the beginning with God. Jesus Christ, the true light of the world, has always been and always will be. That is the miraculous thing of Christmas time. Emmanuel, as Daniel mentioned, God with us. God, the creator of the world, came and became and lived with us. He made everything. Therefore, the world, the Word, the light was not created. The Word, the light, Jesus Christ, has always been and always will be. Look at verse 3. All things were made through him, through Jesus. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, verse 4. And what? And the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Jesus is the light of men. He shines in darkness, and darkness cannot overcome the light. That is a great hope, right? That no matter what we're going through, no matter what we're seeking, if we seek Jesus Christ, he is the light. And no matter what darkness that we're facing, whether it's our sin or whether it's the broken world around us, whether it's depression, the light of the world breaks through the darkness. But not only breaks through the darkness can never conquer the light. Because Jesus is the light that shines in darkness, cannot be overcome by darkness. And this light came into the world. Let's read verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. The true light, who gives light to everyone, Jesus Christ, came into the world. The advent, the coming of the Messiah, the coming of the light, the coming of the Savior. Verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But listen to this, verse 12. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The light of the world came into the world that whoever believes in him might be born into this light. Matter of fact, Jesus says we will become, if we trust him, we will become children of light. Not children of darkness, but children of light. And if the darkness is Christ, I mean, if the light is Christ, then darkness cannot overcome it. And we are now children of the light. What does that mean? Darkness can't overcome the children of the light. Let's read on, verse 13. Who was born not of blood, verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus bore witness about him. John bore witness about him, and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me,' because he was before me. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." I want you to think about those last few things. Jesus came to show us God's glory. Jesus came to not only show us God's glory, but to show us what grace is, to show us what the truth is, and to show us something more important than anything else, to show us the Father. Remember, Satan wants to give you imitations of the Father. Satan wants to give you that saccharine substitute instead of the real thing. But Jesus came to bring light, light in the darkness, and give us an invitation to be sons of the Father, sons of light. So I have a few questions this morning. Are you ready for that light? You see, God looks at us, and he sees where we are at. And he knows what we've been struggling with. If you've been struggling with depression, I mean, it's not a shock to God. God's not up in heaven going, "Oh my goodness, Steve's been struggling with depression. I had no idea." Matter of fact, he is such a loving father that he's been looking and waiting for you to turn to him. That psalm we read earlier, Psalm 45, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul, within me?" And then he goes on and says, "Hope in God." And here's where this hope comes from. This hope comes from the light of the world, who is Jesus Christ. Remember what it says in John 1:12? It says, "But to all who did receive him," to all who received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, who believed on his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. God says, "I know You see darkness. You see death. You see destruction. You see confusion. You see division. Stop looking at those things and look at me. Look at the Savior who came and lived the life we could not live, died the death that we deserve on the cross. He died the death of shame in order to take away all our shame. Look to the Savior and live. To all who did receive him, receive Jesus Christ, put their hope, put their trust in Christ, who believed in his name, believed that he was truly the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, the one who came to save us from our sin. He gave the right to become the children of God. He gave the authority to become the children of God. A lot of times we go, you know what? I don't deserve God's goodness in my life. If, you know, some of you literally have spoken to me and said, if I came to church, the roof would fall in. Right? But guess what? Because Jesus came and lived the life that we needed to live and died the death that we should have died, to everyone who believes in him, he gives the authority and the power to be God's children. And he says that darkness around you can't stand a chance because I am now in you and I am light and you are my child. John 12:46, I have come into the world as light, Jesus said, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. Do you catch that? Whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. You don't have to stay stuck. That's the hope in Christ. You don't have to stay in darkness. Jesus wants to bring you out of darkness and into the light. 1 Thessalonians 5:5 says, for you are all children of God. He's talking to the church in Thessalonica, and he's telling them, listen, you have believed in Jesus Christ, and because you have believed in Jesus Christ, you are now children of light. Not children of darkness, but children of light. Children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. Will you believe in Christ as the Savior of the world, the light of the world, and trust him, and he will give you this light. He will make you a son of God. And not only that, will you believe Jesus as the expeller of all darkness? This is a fascinating passage to me in Revelation chapter 22. And night will be no more. Why? They will need no light or lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light and they will reign forever and ever. Two amazing things in that passage. You catch that? Who's going to be the light forever and ever? God, the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father and the Holy Spirit, the light will be the light for all eternity. And who's going to reign? They will be their light and they will reign for ever and ever. We're going to reign with God for how long? As children of the light. Think about that. No matter how bad today is, that's our future. But just don't look at it as our future. Look at it as our present. We're already seated with Christ in the heavenlies, and we're to live as the light of the world, Jesus says, now. Will you trust him to be those things? What darkness do you struggle with the most? Be honest. And if you're online, type it in on Facebook or YouTube, wherever you're watching. What darkness do you struggle with the most? Is it the broken world around you? Are you just so discouraged by the news every day, you just, you know, just... Is it the brokenness of the people around you or the sin that's been committed against you or by you that just wears you out? Have you been fighting depression? And you feel like you have that dark cloud around you all the time. It just kind of follows you. Or death. You're just worried about death all the time. Or is it false teaching that's been tearing your joy away? Or do you just feel like your soul is empty? My question to you, according to what we read today, what difference can Jesus, the light and creator of all things, make in your area of struggle? According to Scripture, according to what we read, according to what Jesus says, what difference can Jesus, the light and creator of all things, make in your area of struggle? Can you find hope in Him? And do you believe that Jesus can make you a child of God if you believe in His name? Do you believe that? If you believe that Jesus is waiting for you with open arms and saying, come to me. Come to me, and I will give you the power to become a son of God. Through the blood I shed on the cross, through the resurrection that I had 3 days after I died, that power I give to you to become a child of God. And if you are a child of God, don't forget who you are. Don't forget the hope we have that one day, and even right now, because God is in the eternal now, He is the eternal light, and we are reigning with Him for now and forever. Darkness doesn't have to rule our life because Jesus is the light. Father, be with us today. Help us to walk in this truth. Help us as we look around at everything that is Christmas stuff. Help us to see Jesus, the light of the world. If you're watching today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, it's really easy to do, and you may have already done it as you've been listening. It's just changing your mind about who God is and who you are. Changing your mind that God loves you and deeply cares for you and sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for you and rose again 3 days later. It's changing your mind that you're in darkness and you can never get out, to changing your mind that Jesus is the light of the world. And if you trust in Him, you are now a child of God, a child of the light and not of darkness. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all.
Under the Mosaic Law, the tribe of Levi was appointed as the priest of the nation. Once a year, on the High Day of Atonement, there was a particular liturgy that had to be taken care of. On the High Day of Atonement, it was the day of the remembrance of the sin of the people for the entire year. And a priest would be selected who would have to prepare himself to take the blood of the sacrifice beyond the veil and present it on the altar, the mercy seat of God. And the preparation had to be personal, because if you came into that place without having done your ritual cleansing, you would fall dead. And so in anticipation that someday that might occur, part of the liturgy included tying a rope around the priest. And there would be little bells at the hem of his robe so that you could hear him moving around. And if it stopped and did not continue, your job was to pull the dead guy out. So it was a very serious affair. And the people would gather for the Day of Atonement. The sacrifice would be offered. The priest would enter the veil. And when they came out, they would know their sins for that year had been covered. So the High Day of Atonement was about always the remembrance of sin. Now, when we come into the book of Hebrews in chapter 10, we find a totally different presentation under the new covenant. In this situation, if you're following along, I'm reading from chapter 10, starting in verse 3 and picking up a few verses. But in those sacrifices which they offered, those sacrifices that were a reminder of sin year by year, it was impossible for the blood of sheep and goats to do away with sin, but merely covered it in anticipation of when Christ would come. And when he comes into the world, he says, "This sacrifice and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me." And then he said, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God." Now, after saying those things, he takes away the first covenant in order to bring into effect the second covenant. And in this new covenant, as it's referred to, we have a totally different point of remembrance. He, having offered one sacrifice for sins of all time, he, Jesus, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time onward until his enemies be made a footstool for his feet. For by one offering he has perfected for all time by one offering, get a hold of this, those who are sanctified. And the Holy Spirit says, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, said the Lord. I will put my laws upon their heart, and on their mind I will write them. And their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." Now, it's important you lay hold of this statement, that their sins and lawless deeds I will remember no more, because one of the strategies of darkness is to remind you of how bad you have been and to come to you and say, "Who do you think you are?" Ever heard that accusation? Well, when you know who you are, you have a response. "I'm not listening to you anymore. I am an heir of my Father. I have been sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. I represent my Father in time and space and will triumph over you in eternity. I don't have to listen to your lies anymore." I've actually said things like that. I don't have to say it anymore because I own my identity. But in this scripture, it says that we have gained access to the Father through the veil, that is the veil of his flesh. And once you pass through the veil, you are in the presence of the Father forever. Not just someday on the other side of death, right now. Whenever you go into any place, any time of day, any location on the planet, there's a presence that goes in with you. You carry something of eternity on deposit in you. The atmosphere should change when you walk into a room, because you did not come in alone. You're there as someone's appointed representative. Now, that's a whole lot more than a wafer and a little bit of grape juice. But when we take it, this is what we're celebrating. It's not just the forgiveness of our sin, because it's not about the forgiveness of sin. It's not to be a testimony to the fact that you're a sinner. It is the testimony of the fact that you're no longer a sinner, and God doesn't even remember your stuff. Their sins and lawlessness I will remember no more. Psalm says that He took all your history, put it in the sea of forgetfulness. So quit repenting over stuff that's already been covered by the blood of Christ. Start standing up on the inside and realizing who I represent matters. And because I'm His representative, I matter to Him. So when we take this stuff, have y'all figured out yet how to get these things open? It was fun the first time, frustrating the second time. Take, remembering, His body is the veil that was opened so you could pass into the presence of your eternal destination. And His blood satisfied all the requirements for all mankind, for all time, to be restored to Him. Hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, His Excellency, the Lord Jesus Christ. I would submit to you that when we partake of communion, we're once again rendering honor to whom honor is due. It's the celebration of the victor. Jesus, Jesus, He's our man. If He can't do it, nobody can. No. That kind of thing. Ah, so you saw it. Okay, just checking. One of the laments that I carry as an American citizen is the absence of honor that has overtaken my culture. The baseness with which people address one another. The antagonism and the anger and the judgments. I had a school counselor, not part of this congregation, sharing with me how a teacher sent a teenager to her office. And in the conversation, she was just appalled at the disrespect by this young teenager, particularly because he had insulted the classroom teacher. And this young, arrogant, ignorant, untrained, undisciplined person said this: "She has to earn my respect." That's nonsense. Good manners is the way you show respect to other people. And my culture seems to have forgotten that. And so when we have the opportunity to render honor to whom honor is due, we should take it seriously. I mean, back in, I believe it was in October, there was a day set aside. We met at Dorsey Park, and persons with whom Patty and I have been involved with relationally for many, many years, decades for some of them, they took the opportunity that day to render honor to us in the testimony that they gave of what we had been to them and the impact of our lives upon them. Now, that was a wonderful afternoon in this regard. Each of us have some aspect of the Holy Spirit that attends us. There's a grace that attends each one of us. And what we were able to hear was how the grace that attends us had affected the lives of those who gave us access to their life. So it was a wonderful tribute to what the Lord has done. And whenever we have opportunity to render honor to those who have a grace that attends them, that affects us positively for the kingdom of God, whether it's a parent or a teacher or a pastor, we want to take the opportunity just to say so. I had one of the most delightful experiences of my adult life just a week and a half ago at the Department of Motor Vehicles in South Carolina. Now then, you think I'm making a joke. But they were the nicest people I have ever interacted with in my adult life in that administration. They were helpful. They were courteous. They were supportive. They were informative. They went out of their way to help us process things. I even had to go back and find another piece of paper, came back. They said, you go right back on up there, sir. Don't wait. And I told that young lady, I said, I have never in my life, in my adult life, had such a wonderful experience at the Department of Motor Vehicles. You guys are just awesome. I mean, it was really pleasant. Now, why did you laugh? Because that's not your experience, okay? They're always mad about something, and they try to take it out on you. I'm liking the South, I'm telling you. I'm liking it. But right now, and it's taken us a long time, I want you to know, this should have been done a month or so ago, but it's the first time in weeks we've actually had all of our pastors together. And so I get to give them, on your behalf, gentlemen, come up here. Steve, Jay, Daniel. I get to give them, on your behalf, a token of appreciation. It's a remembrance that we acknowledge you, we value you. Pastor Jay, Merry Christmas. Pastor Steve, Merry Christmas. Pastor Daniel, Merry Christmas. And we honor you. Bless your hearts.
I get the opportunity to give you an honor as well. I just want to say, Pastor Lanny, for those of you who are maybe new here or just need a reminder, he's been pastoring here for about 40 years, and he's affected the lives of so many. And that day in October when we got to share how he has impacted so many of our lives, it was just a wonderful, wonderful setting. There's not enough that we can do to honor this man right here. So please just stand up. You can't imagine. You can't imagine the sacrifices that someone takes as they step into pastoral ministry. But you also can't imagine the grace that God gives you to attend you in that. And Lanny has put himself in that place for year after year after year, decade after decade after decade. And I bet everybody in this room has a testimony of God's grace through him to you. And if it's not personal, it is corporate. Because this place has been able to pursue the presence of the Lord because of this man's decisions that he made in honoring God. Amen. We are thankful, Pastor Lanny. So this is a small token of our thanks to you. We love you. Thank you, everybody, for joining us here today. Thank you for coming and worshiping together. Do we have anything? Okay, wonderful. So we're going to bless everybody, and we're going to send you home. Father, we just thank you so much for your blessings. We thank you for your honor, Lord. We thank you for your servants, Lord, who have placed themselves at your feet, Lord, daily to draw others to your feet. Lord, we thank you for the reminders today that we get to be those who can step out of darkness into light, that is open to all, Lord. But for those of us who have come into light, Lord, remind us of who we are. Remind us of the identity that we now have, Lord. Lord, I ask that you would continue to speak to us in this season, Lord, that we would lay hold of your spirit in this season, Lord, not just the spirit of the season, not just the spirit of Christmas, but God's spirit right now in this season, Lord, that we would walk as light into darkness, Lord, because that's how you have sent us. We ask for your grace and your peace and your goodness in Jesus' mighty name. Y'all be healthy. Y'all be safe. We hope to see you back here soon. Pastors and wives up here afterwards. And by the way, just as a reminder, if you'd like to sign up for Angel Tree, Jim Curry and Tim Frink are over here in the alcove handing out those flyers. God bless you all.